Welcome to the PR Moment podcast. Produced in association with the Marketeers Network.
Welcome to the latest PR Moment podcast. And on the show today, we're chatting to Andy Peake, who's London CEO of creative agency VCCP. I've known Andy, would you believe it, for about 25 years. And so to an extent, anyway, we've followed each other's careers with some interest over a couple of decades. As Andy is now CEO of one of the largest creative agencies in London, I thought it'd be interesting to get him on the show to chat about the intersection of PR firms and advertising agencies. For those of you that don't know, VCCP London has 1,100 employees, and according to Nielsen's billing rankings, is the UK's highest billing creative agency, with £483 million in billings in 2022, up 34% from £360 million in 2021. The agency was founded in 2002 and is owned by Chime, which also owns the PR agency Good Relations. Chime is majority owned by the private equity firm Providence Equity Partners. Now, Andy and I were chatting about the intersection of PR firms and advertising firms and how it's become an interesting one. If you listen to a PR firm describe itself and an advertising firm describe itself, you'd think they had basically become the same or indeed very similar. But they rarely seem to compete for briefs and client budgets. And we'll be discussing that and no doubt much more on today's PR Moment podcast. Before we start, if you haven't already, do take a look at our PR Masterclass, the Agency Growth Forum event. At this one event, 22 experts will give 11 masterclasses on the essential elements of managing a modern, profitable and successful PR firm. Also a reminder that the final entry deadline for the ESG Awards is the 29th of September 2023. Finally, thanks so much to PR Moment podcast sponsors, the PRCA. Andy, welcome to the show.
Hello, Ben. Good to see you. Really good to be here. Thanks for inviting me on.
A pleasure to have you on. Now, Andy, as far as many PR people are concerned, advertising agencies wedded themselves to producing a 30-second TV ad that they don't think anyone watches anymore. From your perspective, what have advertising agencies become?
It's a good question, actually, because we wouldn't actually describe ourselves as an advertising agency. We'd, call ourselves an integrated creative agency. So we would see our role as building brands that are distinctive over the longer term. So not just campaigns, not just TV ads, as you say, but any communications or in fact experience moments along an entire customer journey that are going to help build a brand. And the thing that we think probably makes an integrated communications agency pretty different from what you would probably traditionally call an advertising agency is that they have a range of different disciplines, or we have a range of different disciplines in the same agency within the group. You touched on PR, and obviously Good Relations is the PR agency, one of the PR agencies actually within the VCCP group. But we have a multitude of different disciplines that we can draw on to obviously answer whatever client briefs we have. So, you know, as you would expect, we have all the sort of quite conventional communications disciplines such as social and content, customer engagement, branding, media, but also looking into areas like behavioral science. So we acquired a company last year called Carry Consulting, which is a company of 40 people who are behavioral scientists, and they look at how you can optimize a customer experience journey for brands, either to make the service better or to encourage a different behavior along that journey. We look at packaging design, we look at branding for clients, we look at customer experience through our CX division, and obviously looking at artificial intelligence now and the role that can play for brand and building brands for the long term. So yeah, I think, you know, we weren't started as an advertising agency. We were started as an integrated communications agency. Obviously the range of disciplines that we look at now has expanded over a period of time. We've got specialists in all of those disciplines across the entire VCCP group, which is why we can call ourselves a fully integrated agency with a real focus on building brands for the long term.
So it's just an interesting thought. I mean, of those 1,100 odd people you've got, and I don't expect you to know this to the fine out detail, well, how do those sort of job types divide themselves up? Like, what are we, you know, in just broad percentages? And again, I don't expect you to know that.
Yeah. You can sort of, you know, there's discipline specific sort of categorization of those jobs. So there's obviously experts. We're all in the same building, actually, in the UK. We've got offices around the world, but in the UK, pretty much all of us are in the same building. So within this building, 850 people in this building, you know, there are a group of PR specialists. Most of those people are in good relations, but there are PR specialists in different parts of the VCP group as well. That probably accounts for, I don't know, 10% of the number of people in this building. We've got people who are involved in production. It's a fairly significant part of what we do. That would be things like film production, design and artworking, digital production, things like post-production as well. So we've got edit suites within VCP building here at Greencoat House in Victoria. We've got sound studios. So people actually making the work. We've got probably around about 150, 200 makers. We've then got obviously creative departments in the agency. We've got planning, strategic functions within the agency, account management functions within the agency. Those people would be looking at kind of, you know, looking after our clients, developing the brand strategies for those clients, the overall creative ideas for those clients. There's probably 300 or 400 people fit in that category. So you've basically got what we would consider, you've got a bunch of people who are more brand focused in terms of brand strategy, looking after our clients from a brand management perspective on the account management side of things and the creative side of things. And then you've got specialists from the different disciplines, PR, as I say, being one of those, a multitude of other specialists within the building. So yeah, there's about 800 of us. You know, the bigger part of that is what I would call VCP London, the bit I look after, which is the brand strategists, the creatives, the account management. But obviously what we do, and this is the really important part of our model, is when we get a brief from a client, we put together what we think is the best team of people to answer that client brief, irrespective of where they sit in this building and what part of the agency they're in. So if we thought that PR was a big component part of the way that we should respond to a client brief, we would include within the team that we put together to answer that client brief, somebody for good relations. But it could be from some people or individuals from various different parts of the agency to answer whatever the client brief is.
Sure. The scale of what you just talked about there is clearly different from most, well, any PR firm in London. But a lot of the work and the approach, I should say, and the specialisms, to an extent, PR has become more of a specialist and less of a generalist type place of work. From your perspective, when you describe a PR firm, what would you see their role? What do you think a modern PR firm does?
Yeah, I mean, the simplest way of probably categorizing what different parts of the agency do is into paid, earned and owned. And there's obviously an enormous amount of overlap now, you know, within a creative agency, even a conventional creative agency. Obviously, they look at social and content. A big part of that would be earned. I suppose, and I'm not an expert in PR, I obviously get exposed to it because I work with clients who have got either their own PR agencies or internal PR functions at a client's end or working with one of the PR agencies that we've got within the VCP group. I think you've obviously got the crisis side of things. You've got the corporate comms side of things, particularly working with the CEO of a business, obviously to make sure that the message that the CEO wants to get out there is landing. I think you've got PR, or the role of the PR agency in terms of developing the brand. You've got some really fantastic PR agencies that are, you know, quite strategic in the way that they look at the role of PR in building a brand's overall position. Yeah, you've got some fantastic PR agencies within London. And, you know, I have the pleasure of working with some of them on the clients that I work on. I work with, obviously, the clients' PR functions internally at their end. And as I said, we've got PR agencies within the VCP group as well. And I think, you know, what they do makes an enormous contribution to the overall positioning of a brand, the equity of the brand, you know, how that brand is perceived over the longer term, the sort of emotional connection that the consumer has got with that brand. And from what I see, you've got PR agencies that do, obviously they do the crisis comms, they do the corporate comms, you know, building up what that corporate narrative is. There's some outstanding PR agencies that you know, are really focused on the long term. They understand the role that PR can play, as I say, strategically in helping build a brand and drive sales. And you've got you know, PR agencies, you know, some of them are the same agencies, others are more focused on this, but are doing brilliant, you know, more tactical, but brilliant creative ideas that are gaining an enormous amount of coverage for a brand. So, yeah, we certainly wouldn't see PR as a discipline, as something that is a competitive threat to us when we're working with the client. We would see the PR agency that we're working with, irrespective of whether it's within the VCP group or not, as a partner in developing a brand strategy, executing that brand strategy against whatever the client is trying to achieve. So yeah, it's a very collaborative relationship. You know, yeah,
it's interesting though, isn't it? Because I agree with you that that is where the market is at, and I don't imagine you've ever pitched against a PR firm, have you? I don't know exactly. So, but it's interesting, isn't it? Because if I were to take just little quotes from you there about how you position VCCP and put them alongside a PR agency CEO as well, they would you could interchange them. I mean, they would claim they're obviously doing earned. They're doing some paid through social. They're not doing as much as you guys do. Clearly, that's obvious. But it's interesting that when you hear the two types of companies describe themselves, they're pretty similar, but yet they don't seem to compete with each other. And I just wonder why do you think that is?
I think again, I can only talk from obviously the experience I've had of working with other PR agencies. I think we are in the fortunate position with a lot of the clients that we work with, in that we're what they would call their lead strategic and creative agency, whether that's in the UK, whether it's across Europe, or whether it's globally. And I think the benefit you have being in that position is that you work with a client and defining what the overall positioning of the brand is. And that can be a positioning that is, you know, a 2-year, 3-year, 5-year, 10-year, 20-year positioning for a brand. That is a commitment to a positioning. You know, we've worked with O2 for 21 years. The positioning there is all about personal enablement. Even going back to why O2 is called O2, it's because it's oxygen, it's essential for life, it's about enablement in life. You know, that is a positioning and a brand strategy that we worked on with O2 when they launched 21 years ago. It's still as true today as it was back then. We do the same with Cadbury globally, in helping them define the brand positioning, or the positioning of their brand, what is the North Star of their brand. And then we're also in the position, fortunate position, to work with our clients. And once we've got that positioning, in developing whatever the creative platform is, you know, and the creative platform is really the thing that is, you know, the glue that holds all of the activity on that brand together. It's the aggregate, you know, our view is what we're here to do really is to build long-term brand platforms, creative platforms, so that, you know, ultimately, there's so many demands on people's time now, isn't there? Attention. You know, they haven't got time to go into the complexities of what a brand stands for. It needs to be so simple and single-minded. And it's our job to create ideas, or an idea, a creative platform for a brand that is going to resonate to people. They're going to understand it. It's going to be memorable. Call it a mental availability. And it's going to give them an advantage when people are at the counter, in the showroom, you know, at the till, whatever it might be, they're going to choose that brand over another one. Because the message and the way that we're communicating that message to them over the long term, so that equity is built for the brand, is relevant to them. Now, the reason I'm talking about that is that my observations are that PR agencies haven't had the opportunity to do that. And that, I think, is probably partly because of the type of people that you get in a PR agency versus an agency like ours. Obviously, at a point in time when you've got a creative platform, you then need to execute against it. And that is when you're thinking about, okay, how am I going to execute this in PR? How is it going to be executed in my CRM activity, or my advertising, or my... It becomes a more executional task. It's obviously strategic, because it's laddering back up to whatever that creative platform is, but it is more executional, more short term, more channel led and discipline led, rather than at that higher level where you are trying to define what a brand stands for the long term.
How much tension is there, or frustration is there, do you think, between that long term strategic 20-year view, if you like, versus that that need or that desire for a news hook in a, or be that that a news hook that thrives on in the media or on social or the rest of it. Do you come across that often? Is that because it's sometimes the different perspectives on that can be quite interesting, I would imagine.
Yeah, they can. I mean, the first thing you've got to do, obviously, in the platforms, the creative platforms that we're developing for our clients, we've got to make sure that they've are flexible enough to go across a multitude of different media at different moments in time for the long term. You know, that's a lot of the stress testing that we would do. So if the news hook is something which is relevant to the positioning or the creative platform for that brand, there shouldn't be any tension, because it's just another piece of activity which is reinforcing the overall positioning of that brand, contributing to the building of that long-term brand platform. Where the tension sometimes exists is where there's an interesting news hook that a brand could be, you know, create a story off the back of and get some publicity. But if that doesn't actually, well, fit or is incongruent with whatever the overall creative platform is, then there may be a bit of tension there. Because, you know, our belief is that it's the aggregation of all of your activity, whether that's your tactical day-to-day sales driving activity, your experience for the customer, or your long-term brand building activity that you know that you pay money to expose to the audience. It's the aggregation of all of that which builds the brand over the long term. So if there's something, if there's communication which isn't broadly in line, doesn't have that red thread going through it, that consistent narrative about what that brand stands for, then if you carry on doing that, then over a period of time, a brand is, you know, its position is going to be weakened. If you look at the best brands, I won't, obviously, but I'd like to think that some of the brands that we look after, like O2, Virgin Media, Cadbury, EasyJet, TfL, Domino's, they have really consistent brand narratives. And we would do our very best to work really collaboratively with all the different people and agencies that are working on the brand to execute in a consistent way. So that ultimately the audience, whatever channel they're encountering that brand in, whether that's in the social feed, organic, paid, PR, you know, partnerships, whatever it might be, it all lines up against whatever that overall narrative is. So I'd say the only time the tension occurs is when it feels like, you know, everyone's bought into this agreement. And in complex client organizations, it takes a lot of agreement, you know, at times to get agreement on what a brand stands for. And you know, not just on the in terms of the crafting of that positioning by and the creative platform by us and the clients we work directly with, but broader stakeholders in a client's business, it can become a bit frustrating if people are developing work which isn't necessarily in line with that narrative. I'd say that's when the tension occurs.
And that, to confirm, the frustration's nearly always both ways, right? But
I can imagine, because I imagine if you've got a great story that is a brilliant fit for a brand in terms of getting a lot of coverage for it, I can imagine how exciting that is. And probably whether it fits with the overall narrative of the brand is so secondary.
Yeah. Absolutely. Agency-wise, we're living in a period of specialism, aren't we? There's more specialists than ever. PR firms have more specialists than they've ever had. They have multiple creative directors within their businesses. There's the rise of behavioural science that you talked about. That's in the early stages within PR, but it's definitely happening. But just talk us through, it's on another level when you were speaking about VCCP's specialisms the other day when we spoke. Just talk me through the extent of that, where you've gone with the specialist techniques you take.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that the sort of starting point really is when the agency was started 21 years ago by four people started the agency, two of them are still here, which is brilliant. But they started with a really strong culture, and that was a challenger culture. And it was basically to look at the bad habits of the industry that, you know, the agency was being set up in. And there was quite a lot of preciousness in the industry at the time, and actually quite a lot of arrogance as well, that advertising was the, you know, superior channel to use to reach people. As you said right at the start of this chat, Ben, it was all about the 30 or 60 second TV commercial, but that wasn't the culture of this agency when it started. It was a belief that it only works if it all works. And that is that when you look at all of the different touch points, as I say, that a consumer is likely to encounter, or a B2B audience, or an internal audience actually, then there is consistency in terms of how the brand is presenting itself. And to be able to do that, you need to embrace the multitude of channels that people interact with. And that changes as well. You know, so social and content wasn't that big 10, 15 years ago. Obviously, it's exploded. So you had to bring those types of specialists in. Now, without the culture, without that challenger spirit that we had and the open-mindedness and the belief that it only works if it all works, we wouldn't have embraced all the different disciplines at the time, but also as they emerged over time. So, you know, we were one of the first agencies to have search capabilities in-house. So buying search for clients, we understood how important that was going to be for clients. We very quickly after that brought CRM into the agency. So we brought CRM specialists into the agency, brought branding specialists into the agency, media specialists into the agency, social and content. We actually started organically. It grew from about two people who started it internally 15 years ago to about 100 very quickly. Obviously, it now touches every single part of our agency. So we've basically built up the capabilities. Number one, obviously based on client need, and client needs obviously driven by how people are consuming media. And then number two, on, you know, what is it that's happening in the world in terms of people's changing media habits and the specialisms that we should be, you know, starting to develop so that we can then embrace those and use them for the work that we're doing with our clients. So our lineup of capabilities now, we've got about 19 different capabilities within the VCB group. And as I say, we've got international offices as well. That will be different. In 10 years' time, that list of capabilities will be different depending on how...
Is there a chance that I've gone down? Has the list of capabilities ever decreased?
No, I mean, sadly not, because the way that people are, you know, it's you sort of touched on it at the start when you kind of implied that the TV ad is dead, which is a debate in itself. But there are a multitude of other ways now that people engage with brands, aren't there?
I mean, that approach, I'm sure, has its has massive advantages, doesn't it? Is one of the disadvantages that everything takes so long?
No. So this is going back to the sort of founding principles of the agency that the four people who set the agency up developed. You know, removing bureaucracy and hierarchy was really important. And being lean and maintaining an entrepreneurial spirit, that when you looked back, and sometimes as well when you look now, you know, some of the bigger networks, they still are quite slow moving and cumbersome. We do everything we possibly can to avoid that. So we've got a really simple set of way of working. We have something called a core four. It's four people, irrespective of the size of the client that we're working with, it's four people in the agency who are the leadership team within the agency who are the main points of contact for that client. And it's up to that group of people to tap into all the different specialists we have in the agency to put the best work they possibly can put together with that client. The client shouldn't feel like they're dealing with a big group of people, either in terms of what they're paying, but also in terms of the complexity of what it's like to deal with us. It is those four people that are key. They then put what we call a tailored team together, which is basically, you know, it's like picking a football team or any sports
which
team.
Which is, to be fair, the same as other PR firms do it. But yeah, absolutely. Yeah. From a client perspective, just think about that. You know, that there's so much. Yeah, as you alluded to there, there's digital firms, there's SEO firms, there's creative firms, there's PR firms, etc., etc. Has the buying of marketing services either become or is in danger of becoming too complicated, too messy from the client's perspective?
I would argue not, because of the position that we're in.
As long as everyone goes to VCCP or the like, it's all okay. Right?
I mean, the briefs we love the best are is when we're set a challenge or a problem, rather than an executional channel brief. Because, and we are in the really fortunate position in that we have got the specialists in the different disciplines here to be able to put the right group of people together to answer clients' challenge, whatever that might be.
Yeah. So you must worry that from a barrier to entry perspective, a specialist in one of those areas that you've got a specialist in can set up and they could do it more quickly, possibly cheaper than you. And that might take some, that happens, doesn't it? That's part of the ecosystem that you operate within.
It's part of the ecosystem, but that's what also keeps us on our toes. Okay. You know, I look after within VCP London, I look after obviously the advertising part of the agency, but also customer engagement, retail experience, social and content, employee engagement. You know, we have got to be the best we can possibly be in those areas so that we can compete as an integrated team, but also compete on a pure play pitch against one of those specialists. Right. You know, we are under no illusion about that. We've got leadership teams, and we attract the best possible people that we can into each of those different disciplines here.
So you don't only do the big strategic stuff encompassing the 20-year brief. You do, I mean, I'm jesting on that 20-year brief bit, but you see what I mean. You also get down and dirty on the channel stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we're end-to-end effectively. So we are, you know, some very bright brand strategists developing positioning of a brand, some outstandingly talented creative directors, teams coming up with creative platforms, channel specialists executing clients' plans on a day-by-day basis, irrespective of the channel that is going to go into. I think the other thing that I've noticed is that, you know, the complexity that you talk about has actually found its way into clients' businesses as well. It's really difficult for them to, you know, work out the best structure to, ultimately, you're thinking about the customer's experience, aren't you, of your brand? And you've got to find a way of structuring yourself as an agency and as a client, obviously, that is going to make that experience for the customer as seamless and consistent as possible. We think we've got a model that does that. That is both long-term, but also meets the needs of the clients today. And I've seen clients changing their model and the way that they're structured to do that as well.
Does that mean you're about to launch a, I don't know, client organizational specialism?
No, far from it.
Andy, how is the creative market for VCP at the moment, would you say? If 2022 was 8 out of 10, where is the market now?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're obviously making a bit of a judgment about yourself, the things that you're looking at really are, first and foremost, the quality of the work that you do for the clients you work with and how effective it is, how happy your clients are, which obviously is related to that first point, how happy your people are. And this year's been tough on that front, you know, with everything that's going on in the world, and how you're doing at new business. I think they would be the areas that we would.
And revenues, presumably, which I know you're not going to reveal, but, you know, that comes into it, doesn't it? The growth or lack of it of the business.
It does, but I would argue that, you know, if you're doing a good job for your clients, you're doing work that people can be proud of, if you're attracting and retaining the best talent that you can, and your clients are happy, that bit takes care of itself.
Right. Yeah,
So I think if that becomes the focus, then you become quite sort of short term in your outlook, because it's the quality of our output really for the clients that we work with. And how happy people are working here, that's the most important thing. I'm not just saying that. I mean, I've done what I'm doing now in terms of looking after the agency for nearly 10 years. I've been through let's think about revenue more than the other things and focus on that internally. It doesn't work. It has to be about the work and what you're doing for your clients and the effectiveness of the
just
work.
Just on that, I mean, have you ever been in this position then when you've been really believing you're doing great work? Great work, but you're down on last year. Let's leave it at that. Or you know what I mean? Because that brings pressure, doesn't it, to a business leader? You especially if you've got private equity owners and all the rest of it. So I get where you're going with that, but it does. In the end, owners want to see growth, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Which, you know, you have to be winning new business.
Right. Okay.
You know, there are going to be reasons which are completely out of your control, which means some clients, you know, aren't going to be spending as much next year as they might be this year. So you've got to be good at new business. Right. We're fortunate here that we've been new business agency of the year, or 9 or 10 last year. So we've got a good track record on new business. But then you've also got to make sure that you retain your clients when you win them.
And that's a good point. So in your world, that new business. Is that that's a key part of that KPI suite, if you like, that new business.
I mean, I think also, you know, it's the momentum of the agency, isn't it? It's the, you know, there's plenty of quotes around about if you're standing still, you're going backwards. But it is true. You know, you have to be winning your business for a number of reasons. It's obviously revenue being one of them. But, you know, that is also what attracts talent to an agency. We've got to attract the best talent we can here to do the best work possible. And if we do the best work possible, we'll attract better talent. It's completely self-perpetuating. Yeah. And that
I
is
think,
how
I
we...
I think that's true in a lot of possibly all agency type businesses, isn't it? That is, you know, that
completely.
Is the best people want to go and work on the best accounts, and that's a cyclical cycle. Yeah, yeah.
Doing the best work, yeah.
Just on that, you mentioned the Challenger brand a number of times as we spoke. How do you keep that a challenger culture that a business of, what do you say, 850 people in London? I mean, it's not an easy thing to do that, is it?
No, I think there's two things that I think we probably really focus on to keep that culture alive. The first is that I've said to you a few times, you know, we're not one big company. We are a group of specialists. And within each of those specialisms or different parts of the agency and internationally, we've got leaders. And those leaders all understand the culture. They understand the standards of the agency and what a good job looks like for our clients. And we've also got, and we focus really hard on this, a really brilliant bunch of future leaders. So you've got to have people who understand the culture and a group of people coming behind those leaders who are advocates for the culture as well. But then the other really important thing is, obviously, we reinforce our culture at every single opportunity. We have lots of formal get-togethers, as you know, company meetings, that sort of thing. You know, probably there isn't a week that goes by where we don't do that type of thing at somewhere in the agency. We'll reinforce the culture of the agency at every opportunity we can. It's in people's appraisals. So we score them on the principles of the agency, you know, living up to our culture. I think you've got to make sure that those leaders and that people are setting an example in every day in what they're doing, the way they're going about their jobs, that reinforce the culture of the place. And I think the other thing that's important, as I say, that having that culture does mean that we carry on challenging the conventions of the category that we operate. We're proud of it. That's the other thing. You know, we attract the people that want to challenge the status quo, the conventions. So I think the recruitment is important as well, to make sure you get the right type of people who reflect that type of culture. It doesn't suit everybody. Not everyone wants to challenge. Some people do want to follow the status quo. Sometimes it's a bit easier, isn't it? But we would actively look for people who are going to challenge that status quo. We'd encourage people to challenge in meetings, whatever level they are. You know, challenge the most junior person who might have just started to one of the founding partners. As I say, two of them are still here. So it's, I think you've got to, you can put all the operational things you want in place. You can put all the organizational structures and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, the most important thing to us when it comes to our people is the culture of the agency and maintaining that challenger culture. That's what really makes us distinctive, and the quality of our work for the clients that we work with. But obviously that's really closely related to the culture that we've created.
AI, the world has changed, isn't it? Last, I don't know, I can't think how many months it's been now. I was going to say six, but maybe it's a little bit longer than that. PR firms are on a big learning curve when it comes to and embracing the opportunities of AI. Where do you come from that? I suppose, well, think about the workflow and the processes of VCC in the main on that one. How are you integrating AI into that?
I mean, the first thing to say is that we're embracing it. I mean, ironically, you're right. It has hit the headlines this year, and we've obviously looked at it in a lot more detail than we have in the past. But when we did look at it, you know, we have been using AI for 2-3 years, particularly on the media side of things, data, in user experience, UI, and actually in our creative department. So our creators have been using Midjourney and things like that to develop scams. I think, coming back to the point around the challenger culture, obviously, we're going to embrace AI. We have set out with a hypothesis that is additive to the creative process. We've actually launched...
You're saying additive to the creative process?
Additive to the creative process.
Nice.
We have set ourselves a number of other hypotheses. We're currently testing those. We have launched an AI agency called Faith. We've got a number of live briefs with clients on the AI side of things. Some really interesting products and work that we're developing for clients at the moment, which I'm sure we'll be launching in the coming months. We've also developed partnerships with two universities, Keele and Stafford, sort of as an R&D partner on AI and how it can be used in the creative development process. So yeah, we're doing the very best we can to absolutely embrace it. obviously comes with lots of complexity, but we'll do our best to overcome that complexity and see how it can be used to help build brands over the long term.
Yeah, and need to say the answer you get now in 6 months' time will be somewhat different than in 3 years' time and all the rest of it.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and just finally, like public relations, frankly, advertising sector has significant issues when it comes to increasing the diversity of the people that work within it. How's the advertising sector trying to improve on that score?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty passionate about this topic myself because I, although we met obviously 25 years ago, Ben, I it wasn't at school. It was actually working. I left school at 16, so you could argue that I'm from probably a background that you wouldn't imagine that somebody in advertising might come from. So I'm really passionate about it, and we've got a really strong culture of inclusion here. We set up a DE&I team probably 5 years ago to really focus on growing that culture of inclusivity. They've actually been team of the year for 2 years running at the Campaign Big Awards, which is an amazing achievement on their part. And one of the best things that we've done and as an agency overall, actually, and that they've led is we've launched Bespoke. And, you know, we did that because it is difficult to get into our world because most of the companies that are in our world are in London. That prohibits 95%, 99% of the country because of cost, but also a lot of people don't want to come to London. We launched VCCP Stoke probably 2 or 3 years ago. And that was, as I say, with the sole objective of encouraging people from a more socially, economic, diverse background into our world, which is really important because we're targeting people across the country, Europe and the world. So why would we just have people who come from London working in our industry? So that's been incredibly successful. We've got people working now in Stoke at the offices that we open there. We've got partnerships with the colleges, schools, universities in that local area. We've got all sorts of programs up and running in terms of, you know, best summer job, apprenticeship schemes, trying to give people a pathway into creative industry that doesn't exist at the moment, alongside actually a lot of the great industry initiatives that have been set up as well. So it's something we're really passionate about. I'm personally very passionate about it, and I'm really proud of what the team have achieved here and everything they've done, but particularly with Stoke.
Brilliant. Andy Peake, London CEO of VCCP. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Absolute pleasure, Ben. Great to see you.
Thanks for listening to the PR Moment podcast, produced in association with the Marketeers Network.
If you'd enjoyed the show, please do review us on iTunes and give us a decent rating.